Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Sin Fronteras. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan. And you heard me right. We are in La La Land for the month of December. We drove up from Central Mexico, a long but very pleasant trip, by the way. And, of course, as soon as we got here, we got cold weather and rain. This isn't the Southern California I was looking for, but, you know, there it is. The show must go on. I want to welcome all of our listeners on the CyberStationUSA.com network and their radio affiliates, and also Artistic Echoes and the Canalside Radio Network in the UK, who hear us tomorrow because it's yesterday. Well, you know what I mean. Anyway, and welcome to everybody on Blog Talk Radio. Today, we are especially honored to welcome one of my favorite LA-based artists who has just released a pair of killer songs and who has more surprises coming, Whitney Tye. Now, if you're one of the five people listening today who doesn't know who Whitney Tye is, you should. Named by Music Connection magazine as one of the nation's top 100 unsigned artists, unsigned bands and artists, etc., and also by Indie Pulse Music as just sheer talent. She's a singer-songwriter who walks on the cutting edge of pop and indie, but she keeps all of her emotional honesty, which is not easy. If you are in the music business, you know that that is not easy at all. Her songs range from fragile to fierce. Her song, The Cure, has drawn rave reviews and thousands of streams, and she joins us today to celebrate the release just last week of a stunning new song, Sleepwalking on the Moon. Whitney, welcome to Music Sin Fronteras.
Hello, Patrick. Thank you for having me.
Oh, hi. All right. You sound so close. You know, I'm not in my regular studio, and things just don't sound the same. And it's sort of like you're sitting next to me, which would be nice, but you know, this is LA. That would take a lot of driving. Well, I have two great songs that you've recently released, and I want to play them and talk about them, and then maybe if we can squeeze in one of your other songs, which is just totally beautiful. But I want to ask you first, two songs within, I don't know, 10 weeks or so, where did this burst of creative energy come from, or is it always there?
I mean, I'm always creating, but, you know, the holidays are coming up. We're amping up for a new album. I wanted to make sure that I got our listeners very excited, you know, for everything that's about to come. It's been a very busy year for me, and I figured a nice way to end the year after kind of being quiet for a little bit, because I was out doing shows and in the studio, was just to kind of drop two really dynamic songs that are expressive of kind of the both sides of who I am as an artist, you know, the quiet, you know, concentrated, intense side, and then that big, you know, kind of stage persona that that I feel like I so closely relate to.
Well, actually, that describes them perfectly, because you have a way of melding opposites rather nicely. So it sounds like you're telling me there's a lot of opposites inside of you. So,
yes.
all right. Well, maybe we'll get into that. Why don't we play The Cure? And here we go.
Thank you.
is so powerful. I mean, I just cannot express how much that hits me. You start low and slow with a simple piano riff, and then you move into hard rock. Did the concept write the music, the emotional shift in the song, or did you start with a musical idea and then write lyrics?
I started writing this song one day on my guitar back when I was living in the East Coast. I remember at that time I was in like a really bad place, just emotionally, relationship-wise. Like there was a lot going on that was kind of conflicting me, and I was tired of feeling like I didn't have control like over the outcomes of my life. So I was like, I need to write my anthem. Like I need to write a song that really expresses kind of the two sides, the duality of being human, which is like, you know, the rage and also the calm. And I think that that's something that we don't often, like, you know, embrace very much. Like we're always trying to hold our cool all the time instead of really allowing ourselves to be enraged and to be angry. And a good friend of mine at the time had told me, he's like, you know, Whitney, like maybe you just need to let yourself get angry or be mad and stop trying to hold it together. And I was like, you know what, you might be right. So I think that was my response at the time. So, and then also poetically, lyrically, I wanted to say something like, it's like, you know, we are the cure to every disease in our minds. And I think once we become conscious of, you know, what we're facing, then we can then build the tools to overcome it. So that song is, you know, everybody's anthem who's trying to overcome anything. It was my anthem to overcome that situation.
I think you hit it just right there, because in the song, you ask, why are you always bringing me down while I push you up, which is a question I think many women are asking in the Me Too movement and other places, and for good reason. But you end with a triumph. You end with, look at me now. So congratulations. You've turned pain into power with that song, is how I see it.
Thank you.
Yep. A part of your success, in addition to the fabulous music that you write and record, I think is also your sense of design in costume, in branding, in presentation on stage, online, as well as in music. And I was getting ready for the show. I was going back through my past writing and reviews, and I remember I first saw you on stage at the Hotel Cafe. I was there for another artist. I was in the little studio, and I had to go through the big studio to get to the bathroom or something. And I walked by, and I stopped in my tracks because you were up there in a skin-tight, jewel-covered leotard catsuit. That was absolutely stunning. Do you remember that? You still have the suit?
Of course. Yeah, I still have the suit. I've worn it a few times, you know, whenever I'm feeling extra, you know, energized, I put that suit on. But no, I remember that night. It was a fun show. It was our first really big show here in LA.
Well, I'm so glad that I was there. Where did that great design come from?
Where did the catsuit design come from?
Well, no, not the catsuit. Just all of your presentation is so well designed. Where did that creativity come from? Were you raised that way?
Yeah, I mean, my parents were very creative people. My mother was very creative. I think like that was just something that was woven into my life. My aunt at the time when I was younger, she was an interior designer, and she always like she was like best friends with my mother when I was little, and she was always around. And I think her sense of design and her sense of presentation, including my mother looked like a million bucks every day of the week. And I loved like going into her closet and just like, you know, walking around with my 1-inch foot in her, like, you know, shoes, and like dragging them across the rug. And, you know, like that was like every day I would just go through her clothes and her drawers, and I would be like, wow, where does she find all this cool stuff? And I used to love getting dressed up. And also, like, I just always loved fashion. Like when I was young, I had notebooks and I used to sketch out looks and like different fashion looks and come up with runway ideas. It was just something that I was oddly passionate about without even knowing why.
Well, as you say in the song, just look at me now. And I hope someday you launch your own clothing line. Right?
Oh, that's definitely going to happen. There's no question.
Well, I want to quickly remind our listeners that we are talking with singer-songwriter, rock musician Whitney Tye about her new songs and some upcoming surprises. And we're not taking any phone calls today. Like I say, we're not in our ordinary studio with all that stuff. But you can talk to her by email. You can email us at musicscenefronteras at gmail.com. And we actually have some emails here. So why don't I go to the emails? Razor in Los Angeles, speaking of your sense of design, says, I saw the picture of you on the webpage, and I think she's referring to the webpage for the radio show here, and she says, and your body is painted gold. Is that really gold? Did they paint your body? Did it hurt? And how long can you leave the paint on?
Well, actually, we did paint that on. Me and my team, we painted it on. It didn't take too long, crazy enough. The combination of chemicals we had to mix together are safe, but I will tell you that removing that stuff was sheer hell, and I think I scrubbed my entire body for 2 hours, and I couldn't describe how painful it was.
Oh.
And they didn't really warn you. They didn't warn you how it was going to hurt, because when you have to scrub something that's coarse off of your skin, it's just not, you're just going to be irritated for a while. So I just remember, I think for 2 days, I still was pulling gold out of my ears with Q-tips. I couldn't get the gold out.
So did you just sort of stand there naked while somebody spray painted you?
Well, I think what we originally did is I had a sports bra on and a pair of underwear, and we covered over everything, and then we started doing some pictures, and I was like, you know what, we can't leave this stuff on. It's just not working. It's showing, the lines of the bra were showing. We were hoping we'd be able to mask it, but we had to take everything off. And so, it was weird, because we had to draw the line of where the gold stuff stops and begins. So it was kind of a pain in the ass, but it's definitely an experience. I would definitely recommend it if you're trying to go for a cool skin texture, but just beware, taking it off is going to be a project.
Next time, maybe just use a gold filter over the lens of the camera.
I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, all right. Bling Girl in Hayward wants to know, do you make your own costumes?
I don't make my own costumes, but I do find pieces, and I do modify my costumes. So I might find a piece that is, maybe I'm looking for a specific style or a cut of a shirt or a skirt. And if I don't like the one that I have, I will modify and cut things to make them look the way I want them to, or just find a way to combine pieces so that they feel like my own, because I've always liked making things look like they belong to me and not to someone else. So fashion is cool that way. You can definitely remove pieces and change things and make it your own style without, and then feel completely individual and that it's that you did it. So, I mean, in the future, I would love to make my own pieces. That's definitely something I want to do.
And of course you have lots and lots of time to do that, right?
oh, yes.
Selena in San Francisco said, I've never seen you play in Northern California. Do you ever play here?
I did one show in San Francisco last year. We were invited up by this really great artist called Ash. And we played a really fun show at the Rickshaw Stop. But we definitely will be coming back up that way. Right now, our focus primarily is just getting our album out for the winter so that we can plan a tour and figure out where we're going. And we hope we can get to you at some point.
Okay. All right. If you do, let me know, because I have lots and lots of friends in San Francisco, and I'll let them know. Now, I want to you've got a new song out, Sleepwalking to the Moon. And it's a great title, incidentally. I want to play it, but you had talked to me earlier about the possibility you might sing it live. Is that still possible?
Yeah, I think my guitarist might be in the music studio here still, so I can bring him in. My co-writer Andrew Kingsley, we wrote this song together last year, and it finally made its way out there. I honestly didn't know if I was going to release this song. I was like, oh, when am I going to get it out? How am I going to put this out, or when? And it just kind of fell into our laps at the perfect time. But I think Andrew's here, and I'm going to go find him.
Okay.
While you play this song.
While you go find him, I'm going to play the studio version, and then the two of you can come back and you'll do the live version. Okay.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. So go find him, and here comes the Sleepwalking to the Moon.
Wide awake and dead asleep at the same time. Feet uprooted, upside down on the skyline. Counting all the clouds that dissolved into night. Pray to see your face.
Are you back?
I am here.
Okay, all right. Well, we just got a little bit of it in, but you're in a sound studio, right? Music studio?
Yeah, you could say that. it's a makeshift studio.
Hollywood, Silver Lake. this town is full of those. Okay, here we go. This is a special, not to be heard anywhere else, live version of Sleepwalking to the Moon.
Wide awake, dead asleep at the same time. Feet at noon, upside down on the skyline. Counting all the clouds that dissolved into night. Pray to see your face. Know the light, but I care. No, I care. No, I care.
Singing now.
Sleepwalking to the moon. Can I face the truth again while the blood is running there? Sleepwalking to the moon.
Wow. Oh, yay. That was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I should let you know that, as you know, I wrote a review of that song, and one of the magazines that published the review is Artistic Echoes, which is based in London. Actually, it's based outside of London, but they publish in the UK. And I got an email this morning from the publisher who said, "This is such a beautiful song. I'm so glad you sent it to us." So you're internationally famous for that song.
Thank you.
All right. And good reason. I mean, with lyrics like "wide awake and dead asleep at the same time," I mean, you combine opposites so smoothly. What's the response been like? I know it's only been out a week.
I have to tell you, I'm kind of shocked at the response, because I, you know, this is kind of a different song for me, just stylistically, and I was really shocked at the outpour. A lot of people have been emailing me and texting like all day, saying that they've got it on repeat, they can't stop listening, it's an earworm, like they love the lyrics. People love that I'm able to express something like that in such a simple way, like kind of like a deep concept. And I, you know, I've been writing poetry for so long. Like, poetry is like the way I've kind of materialized like all my pain and frustration and joy over the years. And I think this was that one song where I was like, I want to write a poem that's something people can sing along to, something that people can feel cozy with. And I think Sleepwalking is that song.
It certainly is. Absolutely. Now, you co-wrote that song, right?
Yes. Andrew Kingsley, the lead guitarist in my project, he and I wrote this together. We did this when I was actually living in mid-Wilshire in L.A. last year, when we just moved out here. And, you know, I remember I was sitting in my studio one day, and I was very inspired. I was listening to a lot of John Mayer at that time, and I was really just kind of reliving that whole period of Continuum and how much I loved that album and just how intricate and beautiful the lyrics were. And I don't know if it was coincidence at the time when I wrote it that I was, you know, that I started listening to him not long after. And it was just, Andrew and I we love writing music together. He's become one of my most coveted and treasured co-writers, and I'm looking forward to unveiling all the other songs that he and I have created together. So,
is he there in the studio with you now?
He is right here.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm here.
Hi.
Hey. Hey, Patrick. Thanks for having me, man.
Oh, hey. Thanks for making all the great songs. And I have a question for the two of you. How do the two of you co-write? Does one of you do the music and one do the lyrics, or do you kind of mash it up? How do you create something like that together?
It's a little bit of both. So mostly I come up with the music, and Whitney comes up with the vocal melodies and the lyrics, but we'll help each other out sometimes. So if, like, she hears a chord, she'll pitch it, or if, like, I have a lyric idea or like a melodic idea, I'll pitch that too. But it's it's kind of like that.
Okay.
Where it's, Yeah,
we don't really have like one way of kind of coming up. It usually just, it'll start with one birth idea, and then we, you know, like for this song, I wrote the lyrics and vocal melody as like a kind of like a pack, and then I came to Andrew and was like, hey, like, what are you feeling for this? You know, what kind of chord structure and arrangement could we do under this? And we built it together from scratch, and I think that's why I like working with Andrew so much, because he's very intuitive, and he listens, and he's listening for the song, not for himself. And I think he and I love to serve the music. That's what we do all the time. And we look for what's best for what feels good emotionally.
Well, it certainly works. And I can hear thousands of people out there saying, "My God, you get to sit around and write poetry and songs all day. What a wonderful life."
It's only a small percentage.
Well, you've got some big things coming up, and I want to talk about them. But before I do that, I want to give our audience a little taste of some of the other kinds of things you do. And there's a song that has always sort of pierced my heart. And it's different because Sleepwalking is an earworm and it does have a hook. And as I don't know, you probably couldn't hear it because you were playing, but I was singing along with it, and I'm sure half our audience was too. But there's another song of yours that, well, let's just play it. This is Flowers. Why don't you tell us about that song?
Well, that one's called Flowers by the Roadside. And that song I actually wrote with a different songwriter. His name is Michael Trainer. He's a really good friend of mine. We met on Twitter a couple of years ago. We were Twitter friends. And when he found out I moved to L.A., he was like, we got to meet up. We got to get together. And we ended up becoming very close friends, almost like family. And I soon to find out that he was a wonderful classical guitar player, and he writes very beautiful chords. And like I heard him playing in my house one day, and I was like, how do you come up with these beautiful chords? So I said, you know what? You hear those four out of the 10 you just played? Let's take those. And I've got an idea. And at that time, it was around the holidays, and I wanted to write something that was talking about how many people have been displaced and address these socio-political economic issues we're having, and letting people know that they're not just flowers by the roadside, that they are more than that, and that we are able to kind of grow again and come out of the dirt and rise up through all the hardship that we are going through as a country, as a world, globally, nationally. So
wow. Well, it certainly says all of that. Wow. So, well, moving on, you have some big things coming up, and one of the big things coming up is you're going to go to NAMM, which is the Global Music Convention in Anaheim with over 100,000 people from the music industry. So when and where are you going to be performing at NAMM?
So we are going to be performing on the Marriott Yamaha stage in the lobby stage on January 18th. I know. I hear good things. I'm really excited to experience this. It's going to be on the 18th of January at 9 p.m. So we're preparing for that. I'm going to have a 10 piece band. It's going to be really big and amazing. I hope whoever's thinking of going or if they're going to be there, we'd love to meet you. Come reach out to us and talk. We'd love to have you see our performance.
This is your first time there, isn't it?
It is my first time there.
All right.
I don't know what I'm walking into.
Well, I'll tell you a story, okay? Because for our listeners, this is the World Music Industry Convention, and people there from literally all over the world, and there's about 120,000 people there. It's so big that the Anaheim Convention Center had to add another building just to accommodate it. And literally there's rock stars just walking around and they're looking at the guitars. Fender has a whole floor and, you know, Gibson has a whole floor and Yamaha has an entire ballroom to itself. And I went there I usually go every year, and last year I took my friend Binks, who's a pop singer, and yeah, you know Binks, so you.
Yes, I do.
Yes, well, when she goes on stage, her persona is the African bee. She's from South Africa, and she wears a bee costume, which essentially is a kind of abbreviated one-piece bathing suit with yellow and black stripes on it, and 5-inch heels, and sometimes she has wings, and sometimes she has a cape. So she decided to wear the costume to NAMM with me, and we were walking around, and of course, you know, I'm just your usual slubby white guy, but every 5 feet, some rock star was stopping and saying, "Can I get my picture taken with you?" So I got to meet all kinds of people who, you know, I'd have to stand in line for 2 hours to get them to autograph an album, and they chased after us because they wanted to get their picture taken. And of course, Binks is drop dead gorgeous. She's a former model, but so wear your costume, right?
Okay.
All right, and walk around with a schlubby white guy, and you'll.
I'll have to put on a cute puppy costume.
Yeah, there you go. Well, wear the cat suit.
Yes, I should.
Yeah, you should wear the cat suit. And you can always change later for your presentation. But you'll meet a lot of rock stars, let me tell you. Right? Okay. You've also put together a side band, haven't you?
Yes, I have. Andrew and I have started a dark rock project called the 1905. This is kind of recent. It was born just in the last few months. Andrew, I'd love Andrew to talk a little about it too, because, you know, Andrew and I have been kind of stewing on this project and idea for a long time, and it's kind of just come to life, like, I think, you know, in a very cosmic way. So I'd like to talk to you a little bit. We have a few seconds.
Yes, we do. Andrew, come on.
Well, I'm going to put on the spot, but I don't know, man. Like, it just it was born really organically. I will say that. Like, I remember coming home one day after work and just working on some, like, chordal exercise, and Whitney stopping was like, "Those 5 chords, man, that could be a song." And I didn't hear it at the time, so I jokingly said, like, "Oh, you know, just write some lyrics over it." She did, and then our first song was born out of that in, like, maybe 15, 20 minutes. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. We just kept writing, and we're really excited about what we're working on, and we can't wait to show the world what we've been working on, you know.
So you created a band, huh?
Yeah.
Yes.
You called all your
friends with guitars and drums and things, and there you were.
Pretty much. I mean, like, out of that song, after we wrote that song, we came up with the band name. We came up with a logo, and then, like, another, 15, 20 minutes. And it was just from that one song.
Yeah.
It was all.
We were literally just joking around here. We were having, like, a good-ass time. And I was like, oh, you know, this could be a band. And this sounds really cool. And, like, I was really digging the vibe. I was like, this vibe is something fresh and new. And it's not something which I've done before. So I was like, you know what? And then we went on to write another 9 songs after that one song, and
wow.
now we have an album we're ready to get into the studio and make. So
you guys are amazing, right? wait a minute, I didn't want that to go past me. You have an album that is ready. You're readying for release in the spring. Is it going to be totally different?
It's a totally different animal, I think we're more slated for, like, a summer release, because right now we're focusing in on producing the first single and making sure it's the way we want it. And I think because this is our new baby, we've cradled it, and we're kind of spending time making sure that the intention that we originally started out with emotionally in the lyrics and in the chord progressions and in all the songwriting structures that we've done, that comes across in the final product. And so we're spending a lot of time with this child right now.
Okay. Well, you actually did send me a little sample, and let me just say that it is going to be quite an album when you get it out, and I look forward to reviewing it. Unfortunately, what I don't look forward to is the fact that we're about out of time. So this is the part of the show in which you tell our audience where they can find you online, where they can buy your music, and where they can follow your live appearances.
Well, I luckily, because of the way the internet works today, I am all over. You can go to WhitneyTyMusic.com, and you can actually get links to all my platforms through WhitneyTyMusic.com, or you can find me on Instagram at WhitneyTy, or on Twitter at WhitneyTy, and Facebook at WhitneyTyMusic. But again, my website has direct links to everywhere to make it easy for you guys to find me.
Okay, all right. And the audience goes to your Instagram, can they dig around in your photos and find the cat suit?
Yeah, they will certainly find the cat suit. It's definitely in there.
Okay.
I didn't archive that one.
Okay. Well, Whitney and Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you so much, Patrick. It's been a pleasure, as always.
Yeah, man. Thank you so much for having us.
And we will do it again. Well, you have been listening to Music Scene Fronteras. We've been talking to Whitney Ty and Andrew, and they've been singing for us. And you should go to her website, follow her on Instagram and all of her platforms, and also download her music. I'll tell you, if you download Sleepwalking to the Moon or put it on Spotify, that'd be all you listen to for the entire day, maybe even for the entire week, because it sticks in your mind. You've been listening to Music Scene Fronteras with me, Patrick O'Heffernan, from the CyberStationUSA.com network, the BlogTalkRadio.com network, and our radio affiliates. Like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, get real-time updates on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Barlabin. Download this and other Music Scene Fronteras programs at blogtalk.com or on iTunes as a podcast. Tune in next week. We're going to be talking to another fabulous LA singer-songwriter. Can't say who right now, but check our Twitter stream and our Facebook page, and we will update you. In the meantime, have a great musical weekend, and I'm going to play a little bit more of Sleepwalking to the Moon.
Wide awake and dead asleep at the same time. Feet uprooted, upside down on the skyline. Counting all the clouds that dissolved into night. Pretty to see your face in these northern lights. And I care, no, I care, no, I care. Sleepwalking to the moon. I'm a million miles away. Tell my friends I'm still okay. Sleepwalking to the moon. Figured out a way to fly, but I think I'm gonna try. Sleepwalking to the moon. Can I face the truth again while the blood is running thin? Sleepwalking to the moon. Oh. Gonna take more than a blast off to shake us. Now the earth is calling you, hell out, asking how you gonna grow while you talk so proud. Well, you care, no, you care, no, you care. Sleepwalking to the moon.